Well, welcome back to the Prophecy Conference here in Dallas, Texas. I guess I ought to give the exact name of it. This is the Hear the Watchman Dallas 2024 Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies. And I am joined today by a couple of podcasters. I used to do y'all's work, by the way. I used to do podcasting. Justin Brown and Steve Zill. And I'm going to start, seeing as how you're right next to me, I'll start with you, Justin. Yeah. First of all, both of you, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
We are really delighted to have you on. But just who are you? Tell me about you.
Well, my name is Justin Brown. I'm just your 9-to-5 knuckle dragger, man. Southern guy from East Tennessee. Family, wife, two kids. I just got into studying the Bible, been a Christian my whole life, and discovered Mike Heiser's Unseen Realm. And when I read that book and seen the whole supernatural side of the Bible and the Deuteronomy 32 worldview and divine counsel and just so many of these things in the Bible that I'd never heard in church before.
Right.
I just started deep diving all these subjects and never been a guy that liked to read or a theologian, but I suddenly became one. And ended up just trying to start a small group with some friends at church. And lo and behold, that ended up turning into a podcast. And 2 years later now, I'm doing not one but two podcasts. So,
isn't it amazing what God does?
It is, and you step out in obedience.
Totally amazing. Okay, Steve, who are you?
I'm Steve. I'm Steve Zill. Same thing, I was one of those guys. He invited to that small group, and it has been amazing to kind of dive into this with Justin, because Justin really inspires me to really dig deeper when we get into these things, because he's always been driven that way. I was raised in a very Christian home, great parents, phenomenal upbringing, where I was not a good kid, though. I did everything wrong. I was the one kid you would not want to have your daughter bring home. Let me just say that. I was not that kid.
Sure.
And it took a Paul-like moment to kind of bring me back. And then I tell you that since then, God has shown me amazing things and pushed me in ways that I didn't. It's not me. It's God.
Let's Amen.
It's
Amen.
Not me. It's God.
Amen. Well, you know, honestly, the people that are the worst behaved, let's put it that way, worst behaved, turn into the best as far as delivering the Word of God, because of the fact that the people that knew them before they become Christian, I call it being BC, before Christ.
Yeah. Okay? See the change.
In your BC days, and then look at what happened, everybody looks around and they go, wait a minute, is this real or is it fake? Okay, and then it's up to you to prove it's real. And you do that by your actions. You know, we can't buy our way into heaven. We can't do any good works to get into heaven. But our works do matter. Mm-hmm. They do matter. So now, you said there's two podcasts involved here, so I want to make sure we get them both in.
Yeah.
So, Justin, we'll start with you. I'll tell you what. Let's do the two of you. The podcasts that you two guys do together. Tell us about that.
Go ahead.
Well, we do the Dig Bible Podcast together. You can find that on just look up digbiblepodcast.com. It's on YouTube. It's on every major podcast player. If you look that up, we got into this, like you said, based off of Michael Heiser's Unseen Realm, really diving into that worldview and being able, if you haven't read that book, please go read it. Your paradigm will be busted, and you will read your Bible in a whole new way, and so much more will make sense, because you'll start understanding the context of who it was written to, when it was written, who was writing it. There's so much there. Because the day that you think 2 Corinthians is written to you, you're wrong. That was the church at Corinth.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, not that we can't take things from that.
Right.
But we have to understand the Bible in its context. What was going on at that time? Who was it written to? All these different things. We dive into those types of things, but honestly, our podcast is everything from Jesus to aliens. And that's I'll quite honestly say that, because these things that happen in our world today, the things that we see around us, the things that we get inundated from the news and all the...
Right.
They all play a role, and we can show that biblically if we take the time.
Right.
We have to dive into God's Word. God gave us all the answers we need. It's in His book, and if you don't take the time to dive into His Word, you're not going to find them.
Amen. Amen. What do you have to add to that?
I mean, that's what it is. It's just trying to understand an ancient text with modern eyes, you're going to fall short every single time.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. And when you read it, you can't just read it as a story. I mean, this is real. When God says, have no other gods before me, He's not talking about idols and stone and wood. If it was just stone and wood, why was His people constantly turning mm-hmm. from Him mm-hmm. and going after these other gods and even sacrificing their own children? There was a payoff. They were seeing things, they were having experiences, and God calls them gods, so they were gods, mm-hmm. but He is the Creator God.
Amen. Amen. All right, now you gave me a little bit about how the podcast came to be, but let me ask you this. When that hit you, that moment where you say, okay, well, I think I'm being called to be a podcaster. What was your immediate reaction to that? I know what my immediate reaction was to going on radio. You must be crazy.
Yeah, no okay. way. Yeah, because he's the one that brought it up. We had three meetings, and we talked about the three rebellions. Because if most people, when you ask them, you know, why are we in the shape that we're in today, mm-hmm. they'll say Adam and Eve. Well, that's part of it, but mm-hmm. there's three rebellions. If you asked an ancient Jew, why is the world the way it is today? They would say Adam and Eve, the rebellion in the garden. Then they would tell you Genesis 6, mm-hmm. and that was not kissing cousins, making spiritually bad people. Mm-hmm. No, it was giants. It was the Nephilim, mm-hmm. the mighty men of old. And then the third rebellion was the Tower of Babel. And it plainly says in Deuteronomy 32 that not only were the tongues divided, but the nations was divided amongst the sons of God, the B'nai HaElohim, the same word that was used to describe the angelic host of Genesis 6. Mm-hmm. So we covered those three topics and just totally busted, you know, some paradigms, I think, for these guys on some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this is profound stuff. Yeah. We have to do a podcast. And I said, no way. No way.
If somebody had told you that you were going to be doing one a year before you did it, what would you have?
Oh, I'd have laughed at them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this guy, by the Holy Spirit, just stayed on me, man. And I'm so glad he did, because this is one of the greatest rewards in my life.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, now, the second podcast you do without...
Yeah.
Without Steve, you just kick him to the curb for this one, right?
Yes, yes. This is okay. A solo ride.
Tell me about it.
Well, my thing is I love the history.
Okay.
And I love the ancient texts and diving into all these fascinating subjects. So with the Dig Bible Podcast, you know, we're looking just, you know, strictly biblical things.
Right.
But I enjoy ancient history. And I'm a firm believer that everything is tied together like an intricate web. All things connect back. And when we look at the Babylonian creation epic, how that mirrors Genesis, the creation epic, and we look at the study of these other religions, conspiracy theory, aliens to Bigfoot, all these things, the Bible has an answer. And if we filter it through a biblical lens. So what I want to do, I mean, in a way it's a ministry, but it's I want to just talk about fascinating subjects that I enjoy.
Okay.
But not only a Christian would enjoy, but even a non-believer would enjoy these uh-huh. subjects. And then while I got them there, I don't beat them over the head with the Bible, but I sprinkle the salt and I give them the truth, and I filter all these fascinating subjects the best way I can through a biblical lens with authors and speakers and with my own research, and try to point the way. And after that, it's up to them if they drink the water. But I just want to do a fascinating show and point that all things do go back to Christ and to through the Bible, and that we have an answer.
Amen. Well, you know, it only takes one seed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say this to everybody. It's not our job to save anybody. We don't have that power.
No.
We are, you know, that's completely above our pay grade. Mm-hmm. But what we are able to do is present the facts to them. Mm-hmm. Plant the seed and then let the Holy Spirit take it from there. That's the whole ball game, at least for me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you some questions that, I don't know, maybe you've been asked, maybe you hadn't. Okay, you ready for this? We'll start with UFOs. Okay, how many times, let's go back, well, you guys are pretty young. I might have to go back maybe 10 years. How many times did UFOs come up 10 years ago? Had to think, didn't you?
Yeah, you'd see it a little bit, but not like you do now. I mean, if you go back, I'm trying to think of when, that's probably 10 years ago, is probably when it started really booming again.
Right, right, okay. And think about, how many cell phones are in the world?
I do not know.
How many of those cell phones have cameras?
All of them.
Okay, so why is it that we can't ever get a good picture of a Bigfoot or a UFO or anything like that? How come we, nobody, we can get pictures of the second plane hitting the towers in New York, can't we? We can get pictures of disasters as they happen all over the world, can't we? I mean in high def. But we can't get a clear picture of a UFO. However, now even the United States government's saying that UFOs exist, right? You think there's a reason for that? Do you think it just might have something to do with the rapture of the church?
I 100% believe that people see what they perceive as UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, and this is once again, I have to always say speculation on my part, because
no
I'm
problem.
Nothing I can use factual in this realm because I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been spoon-fed by the media and the things, this disclosure, this stuff that we're slowly seeing over time, and you're getting snippets, a little bit. They're just, you know, every time they want to wet your taste buds with a little more about this.
Uh-huh.
And then you look at the agenda, even that you see what Ancient Aliens is on, like its 20th season. You're seeing these alien agenda that's getting brought to us. I do believe, and this is, once again, this may sound crazy, and I apologize to anybody out there who thinks it's a little too crazy, but I do believe that we will see aliens in our lifetime, but they are going to present to us as aliens, as our saviors, but they will be demonic. They will be demons.
That's a possibility. I'm not gonna say that it's not possible, because, you know, we don't know what God's plan is.
No, we don't.
We just don't know. I mean, I didn't even know what God's plan was for me until I started doing this, honestly.
See, I believe that you can't get a picture of them because they're interdimensional beings. And
could it be
people get hung
fallen
up.
Angels?
Well, what I was going to get at is people get too hung up on verbiage. If you look at God, if you look at Satan, if you look at angels, if you look at the fallen angels,
mm-hmm.
all of these things are, you know, a science term is interdimensional beings or extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up the definition of extraterrestrial, it means not of this world.
Right.
The one common thing that all those entities have is that they are not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get rid of the verbiage and quit getting hung up on it, and you just call it angels, demons, all that, aliens, then the problem seems to go away.
Yeah. Well, my particular belief is that the world must someday explain how come there's a whole bunch of Christians missing. Okay? They've got to. Think about it for a minute. You know, they've got to explain the fact that millions of people all of a sudden are gone.
They're getting the upgrade.
Now, I'm gonna throw something else at you that my friend on my show, Last Christian, came up with. It changed my whole perspective of the rapture of the church. It may be something you guys thought about, maybe not. Here's the deal. In the Bible, it clearly says the dead will rise first.
Mm-hmm.
What comes after that? What's the word that comes after that? And then? Is there time involved in a then, an and then, or is it at the same time? In other words, the dead in Christ and the Christians are transformed and rise together. It doesn't say that. It says the dead rise first.
Yes, and then. So
and
it would
then.
Be, that, but that could be a length of time. It could be immediately after, or
exactly.
It could be
40 days. Think about that one for a second. Again, my whole perspective of rapture was changed in talking to David on one of our recent shows. And here's the deal. When Jesus rose, did he pop into the clouds or did he rise into the clouds? And how long was he on this earth before he did that.
40 days.
Now then, when he was in the clouds, did he jump in the clouds or did he rise in the clouds? Did the disciples just say, where'd he go, and look up and find him? Or did they watch him rise into the clouds? And didn't the angel say, why are you looking up? He's coming back the same way. Mm-hmm. Well, what is not to say that we, as Christians, will be transformed in that instant? I think my personal belief is, and again, I'm just, you know, this is opinion. This isn't factual. I'm not trying to say I'm some kind of prophet or anything like that. This is just personal opinion. I believe that Christians and those that have preceded us in death will be instantly, in that blink of an eye, transformed. And we will have our incorruptible bodies. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're leaving right now. Think about that for a minute. Because, back up again to Jesus. What happened after he was crucified? Dead, rose from the grave. Mm-hmm. So, could we possibly see that happen yet again? You're the history guy.
The only thing I'll say on that, and this is where I think it's important to think about this, is God is beyond our fathoming.
Right.
And he is outside of space, time, and matter.
Right.
Right? So if God, when God is inspiring these prophets to write these things, mm-hmm. when he says that it is, you know, people can't understand, they can't fathom God's timing.
Right.
We see it linear. Paul thought, you know, that God said as soon as the end of the world hears, you know, the word, he's coming back. So Paul's racing across.
Right. They thought it was coming.
It's mm-hmm. coming.
Yeah.
So God's timing is everything. We can't understand that. So God being outside of time, we don't understand how he's going to, what that means in our perspective, because we can't truly fathom.
Correct.
God's idea on that.
Right.
So that.
Again, that was my.
Oh no.
That, you know, it's not. I'm not writing the Bible here. I had nothing to do with that. I'm looking at this from a perspective of, you know, how would a people, when they saw Christ crucified, and a family member walked into their house, had been dead for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that happened.
That happened right after.
Okay, so there's supposed to be, according to gospel, a huge revival after the rapture and during the tribulation period, more specifically. What would be a greater motivation than Uncle Henry, who died last week, just showed up at your dinner table and told you, you know, you better accept Jesus Christ now mm-hmm. before it is too, really too late. Now, again, it's just an idea. I'm just throwing that out there.
No, it's interesting. This is what's the best about this, is that everybody has their own ideas.
Uh-huh.
We talked about this earlier. I said the important thing is that we always keep the main thing, that we don't let these non-salvation issues separate us. We can have a difference of opinion. Now,
that's key, and we talked about this downstairs in the mm-hmm. conference earlier. I don't care if somebody believes in pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture.
Flat Earth,
aliens coming in to occupy everybody's home. I don't care, because that's not a salvation issue.
Exactly.
Okay. The only thing that matters is that you make it very clear that you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept him as your personal Savior. That is something that I don't back off of.
That is the main thing.
Right.
If you have the main thing, and this is where we talked about this before, we had a interview with Timothy Alberino, and it was an amazing interview, but he brought it up, and it was something that we all dig into this stuff. We love diving in, and I've been very blessed to be raised in the church and have a great understanding of the Bible and things to some degree until I really dove in more for myself and found more. But he said, you know what, when people come into this space, a lot of people come into this space because they like the fringe stuff. They mm-hmm. love the fringe stuff.
Right.
But it's so important to be founded in that gospel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So important to be found in that gospel, because after that, after you understand who Jesus is and why that matters, that after that,
defend your faith. Why you believe what you believe.
Exactly.
Then go digging. He said, you can, he said, Nephilim, fallen angels, the giants, he said, all these things, he said, are fascinating subjects. He said, I can talk about them ad nauseum. He said, but if you ripped out every single passage in the Bible with those things and burnt them, never to be read again or discussed again, and only left me with the story of Christ, he said, I would be perfectly content. He said, because Christ is the foundation. He said, once you establish that foundation, then you can start building this skyscraper with Nephilim, giants, fallen angels, and all these other things. He said, because what people are doing are coming into this space without a theological footing and foundation in Christ and trying to build these tall theological skyscrapers with these Nephilim, giants, fallen angels, and UFOs. He said, then when the first storm comes, he said, or the first theologian that knows their Bible and is able to twist and manipulate it and trick them, he said, the house comes falling down. He said, and that's when deception comes in, like Hebrew roots and all these other faiths. He said, that first turn on Paul, he said, and then before you know it, turn on Christ. And then he kind of jokingly said, and then flat earth is in there somewhere too.
Absolutely. Now, as I said, I'm an old guy. I'm way out of y'all's generation. I'm 65 years old. You guys are what is really needed right now, because you can relate better to that younger generation that is hearing everything that they shouldn't hear in our educational system and in our world today. And you know, that's an important thing. Do you take personal responsibility with that? Do you actively try and get those younger people to tune in just with your, you know, I'm not saying that you're, you know, trying to grab people and pull them. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, to try and motivate them to get out of what the world is presenting them and let them know the world isn't our home.
So I think that's a really good way of looking at it. First of all, and Justin is amazing at this. This is where I lack, and I think I feel much closer to your generation than I do to him sometimes, because I'm so out of the technology and things. Justin definitely takes care of the majority of that. But he's great with using, you know, the social media platforms, things like this. So we're trying to reach people that are on those things, which, I mean, people of all ages are. But the younger generation uses that, like, more than they use verbal communication.
Right.
So it's, you see he's using that, and it helps reach those people. But with that being said, if you were to go through and look at our catalog of topics, which I think is really important, because we have things from creation versus evolution, like how do you disprove evolution, and then
studies of the book of Enoch.
We had the author George Carneal from Queer to Christ talking about the difficulties, the struggles of his lifestyle choices and things of that nature that happened through his life. We've had just things on there that are tough issues to tackle.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that people are struggling with in this generation, is that sin has run rampant. We've gotten so far away from God, and volitional sin is just running rampant in this world right now, that if we don't attack those issues, those tougher issues right now, in a way, listen, from a point of love, I'm not here to condemn anybody.
Right.
Because my job isn't, I'm not the one that's going to be sitting on that throne at the white seat judgment. That's not going to be me.
Amen.
In the end, you have to answer for yourself. But in the meantime, I don't want God to get up there and say, why didn't you reach out to that person? Or why didn't you reach out to that person?
Mm-hmm.
We all have a mission right now, and we're all supposed to reach out to those people. So right now, what I think, and I think Justin's done an amazing job of finding phenomenal guests, and the topics we dive into, we hit the fringe. And we hit the salvation, and we're trying to pull the people from the fringe over here to Christ. We're trying to pull the people from the salvation over here to understand that the world is supernatural, and we're in a war.
Right.
We're trying to find that middle ground for everybody.
Right.
And that's what I think that is our goal and what we're trying to do. It's a good smorgasbord, because we feel there are so many Christians that are just Sunday pew church Christians.
Amen.
They may have a good foundation in Christ, but it's like if you looked at it like a book, Jesus is the first chapter. Yes, it's the most important chapter. Jesus loves you. You are forgiven.
Yes.
And these things. But that's one chapter. Once you've read that chapter and you've got that chapter down, there's a whole other you're missing a whole book, guys.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're in that church pew on Sunday, just getting spoon-fed from your pastor, not diving deep and getting past that, then you are dead weight to the body of Christ. We all have a mission to do, and we try to ask people, what's next? Mm-hmm. After Christ, there's more to the story.
Yeah.
Don't be a complacent Christian. Do your digging, do your research so you can reach those that have not been reached yet.
Amen.
And then at the same time, try to reach those that are lost. And with this generation, we don't want to be beat over the head, you know, with the Bible and conviction. And you're
and
doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong.
Yeah.
It's, and that's what I try to do, because everybody's different, you know. So, but it's like me, I know I love fascinating topics in history and these type of discussions. And I know there's other people out there like that. So if I know I like it, I'm good at it, I can approach it well and make it palpable. So that's what I try to do. I'm like, we'll talk about these fascinating subjects, and hey, here's how it relates to the Bible.
Okay.
Here's how it relates to Christ. Whether you realize it or not, they're connected and they fit hand in glove.
Well,
just leave breadcrumb trails, point the way, and then it's up to them after that.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to accept anything unless you accept it for yourself.
Amen. And, you know, in my generation, and again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, I'm not trying to bash anybody or anything like that, but in my generation, coming up in schools, we didn't have topics of gays. We didn't have topics of homosexuality, bisexuality, bestiality. We didn't have any of that stuff, none of it. Kids were able to run around all day, and you came home when the streetlights came on, okay? It was a different thing. You guys have come up in a generation, at least a part of it anyway, where now the norm is the condemned, okay? And we're going to talk about that more, if you don't mind, and go on into a second segment, because I do want to get more into your podcast.
Yeah.
I want, before we run out of time, though, here in the first part of the show, I want you to give your web address, if you don't mind, real quick, and also a way to contact you.
Yeah, the web address is thedigbiblepodcast.com and prometheuslenspodcast.com. And all of our contact information and social medias, all those can be found on the website. And the emails are on there. We have contact forms.
Okay.
The Prometheus Lens, I cannot remember that email, but the dig is thedig423@gmail.com.
Okay.
If you have suggestions, questions, suggestions for show ideas or topics that you find interesting and you're not finding answers on, we'd love to hear from you.
Amen. Okay. Well, we're going to get into all that in the second half of the show, because I want y'all to go really in-depth in it, and I'm interested to know how you're interacting with your friends, family members, because not everybody's saved, and that includes mine, and we've got some issues in ours. We'll be right back.
Into the third year of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and Christian leaders are being killed, tortured, and are disappearing. And in Russia itself, priests who oppose President Putin's invasion are being imprisoned or silenced. And yet, in Ukraine, there are signs of a growing hunger for the gospel, with reports of churches packed to overflowing and many giving their lives to Christ. In February, the body of a Ukrainian Orthodox priest was found in the streets of Russian-occupied Kherson. He was 59-year-old Stepan Podolchak. According to his bishop, Russian military forces had tortured him to death. Father Podolchak was hauled away barefoot with a bag over his head, say Norway-based Forum 18. His bruised body was later found in the street. According to some reports, he'd been shot in the head. Churches that are not Russian Orthodox face persecution, and many have been closed. Some priests have been deported, others have disappeared. Father Podolchak had been pressured to desert the Ukrainian Orthodox Church and join the Russian Orthodox Church instead. Despite the danger, he chose to remain with his congregation under Russian occupation. He's been described as faithful to God, pure in soul, honest and just. Other church leaders have suffered the same fate. In November 2023, Pentecostal deacon Anatoly Prokopchuk and his 19-year-old son Alexander were kidnapped and shot in Kherson. Their mutilated bodies were found 4 days later in woodland. And in Russia, Christians have been jailed for refusing to take the Putin line. It's reported that 300 priests signed a petition condemning his invasion. Pastor Alexander Salfetnikov was tortured by the Russians. He managed to escape with his wife to an area still under Ukrainian control. There, his new church is filled to capacity. Most are non-believers. At one service, 30 came forward to give their lives to Jesus. 30 more responded to the gospel at another service nearby. Release International's associate says people flock to the Word of God and convert to Christ, in whom they find their only hope in the conflagration of war.
Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and again, I am speaking today with Justin Brown and Steve Zill, and I'm sorry, the podcast name escapes me right now. Justin, tell them what that podcast name is again.
Yeah, we have a The Dig Bible Podcast and the Prometheus Lens Podcast.
All right, and I highly recommend it. These guys know their Bible, and I know that you guys are not shy about sharing it, but at the same time, as you said, you're not going to beat somebody over the head with it.
Right.
And I think that's important. Now, in the first half of the show, I told you about my generation, and we didn't have the issues that I feel like are really tearing the soul out of America's youth right now. How do you guys do, I'm going to let both of you answer this question, how do you guys address that? Because I'm sure you've got friends or relatives that are at least thinking of in these terms.
Well, like from my experience, you know, with some of the topics that you touched on, I have teenage kids. So my teenage kids, you know, have kids in their school that identify as a cat, or girls that say they're boys.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, my daughter has a friend that is a girl that says she's a boy and dresses like a boy. Now, it would be very easy for me to, as soon as I see this girl, you know, hey, you know, what you're doing is wrong. You're a girl, and I'm not going to call you a boy, and you know, and condemn this kid. And even though if I am telling them the truth, it's all about your intentions and your motivations. And the thing is it's about relationships. And think of it as a bank. You can't take out a withdrawal unless you've made some installments into that account.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we just love on this girl. We bring her over. We took her to Dollywood, and that's a theme park in the South, to take her out to eat and just shower her with love. But when subjects come up, I give her the truth.
Right.
I do it in love, and I've made my deposits. So therefore, my loving withdrawals are accepted well because she knows that I love her and I care for her as an individual.
There you go.
And I tell my daughter, and I said, you know, I love this girl, and God loves this girl, but she's just she's mistaken and misled. We know God's word is the word of truth, and it clearly says, you know, that this is wrong. They're
right.
Just misinformed, and most of the time, these, you know, kids have situations where they come from broken homes, and then they have the TV at home and the internet raising these kids, mm-hmm. and Hollywood is beating these kids to death.
Right.
Over the head with, this is normal.
Right.
This is the new norm.
Right.
Every
mm-hmm.
time you turn the TV on, there's a commercial of homosexuals and cross-dressers and just all this stuff. They've been beaten into submission that this is the norm. So every time has their own ways of dealing with sin and different ways of it manifesting and showing its face. It's just your approach always, without fail, never changes. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Mm-hmm. It says that, yes, the law is important, but what does Jesus say? He says, love fulfills the law every time.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So come at them with love and concern for their soul and as them as a person, and you might not reach every single one.
Right.
But if they are reachable, you will reach them that way. And it could just be that you're not the one to reach that person. But the worst thing you can do is beat them over the head and condemn them and finger point, because they're not going to respond well to that. And if your true intent is to not be right, but to save their soul, that you're not doing any good there, and you are hardening the soil for the next person that maybe was supposed to plant that seed.
Right, but you sure don't want to be the one that doesn't.
Oh, no.
And I can tell that you're not one of those. Steve, what do you think?
Well, same thing. I've had many friends that have led different lifestyles where I obviously didn't agree with what they did, how what they practiced, the way that they lived their life. Mm-hmm. And I remember very specifically having a conversation with one friend, and he's like, you're Christian, right? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, you know I'm gay, right? Like, I'm like, yeah. He's like, why do you hang out, you know, with us? I'm like, buddy, I love you. Like, you're a person. You're a great person as a person. Uh-huh. However, I don't agree with what you do. Uh-huh. But if I sit there and I tell you, you're wrong, you're going to hell for doing this, this, and this, is that going to bring you closer to God? Or is it going to push you further away?
Right.
Like how it's all an approach. Mm-hmm. It's the love you need to show. Justin said that. It's the same thing. It's like, I love it. This is, you know, God tells us, you know, he says, when the lawyer asks him, you know, what are the two most important commandments? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else falls into place. Mm-hmm. So your neighbor, who's your neighbor? You know, and then he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? His neighbor's the one that helped him. It wasn't the guy living next door to him.
Right.
It was the neighbor was the one that helped him.
Right.
Even though he didn't like, even though you're talking about a Samaritan and a Jew, and if we don't have the context and understand the hatred that was there, which is the context, it doesn't matter how different you are.
No.
You need to show that love. You need to show that you care about everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell them in that way that, listen, I love you. I don't agree with what you're doing.
Yeah.
God doesn't agree with what you're doing. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to shun you. I'm not going to push you away.
Right.
We need to show that love. And that's, I mean.
And that's the thing, too. We're told to be in this world, but not of this world.
Amen.
So if you work with a homosexual or a crossdresser or whatever, a drunkard,
yeah,
whatever, the sin is sin.
Right.
It could be your neighbor. But if you, when you see this person out in public or pass them in the street and they're like, oh, hey, Justin, how you doing?
Right.
Sinner.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, or they see you gossiping at the water tank. You
right.
know, yeah, there's that queer.
Uh-huh.
You know, and saying
yeah.
the names
yeah.
you say and
uh-huh.
stuff. You
yeah.
are hardening that person's heart. And then they're saying, huh, if that's a Christian, I don't want no part of it.
Right, right. I think that's a great angle. And, you know, that's something for my generation is extremely difficult. You know, you simply, from my perspective, it's like, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just flat wrong. And we don't, again, not growing up in that generation where I was faced with that, I'm very uncomfortable in those situations. So it's up to guys like you to do that work.
I'll say one more thing on that too, and this is the important thing that everybody has to remember. Is what's the difference between me and anybody else on this planet? It's Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? We're all born sinners.
Right.
The difference is when you're sinning, right? Say you could say if I've thought a lustful thought, or I've been greedy, or I've been any of these things, that I'm no different than those people, except for now I have Jesus and I've repented for my sin.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that the people that haven't yet, they're still walking in that sin. But that doesn't mean that I'm any less sinful than they were
right.
or are at that point. It's just that we have to show that Jesus wants you to repent. He wants to have that relationship with you. But you can't have that approach that's going to push somebody away. I just think
right.
it's so important to understand that we're all sinners. And when we start, and this is the hardest part, when we're judgmental and we start putting, okay, well, this guy did this sin, but, you know, and on Earth, we can say that, like, somebody's on death row, and I stole a candy bar, right? Guess what? It's sin.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I'm no different. We're both going to hell if we don't repent.
Amen.
That guy that committed some murder and he's on death row has the same right to heaven. And we don't really have the right. God gave us the right by giving us Jesus.
Right.
We don't have that right. We are equal in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. On our earthly level, we are not.
Right.
In the way that we view things. But as far as God goes and eternity, we're on the same plane.
Amen. That is 100% true.
And the spirit of Christ is humility.
I'm sorry?
I said the spirit of Christ is humility.
Oh, yes.
And that's the thing with me is like, you know, Jesus said, you know, remove the log from your own eye before you try to remove a speck from another.
Amen.
If we are all honest with ourselves, we are all dirty, filthy, sinful, just things. Mm-hmm. And even with Christ, we are. It's just he's our covering. You know, Christ is our covering. So if we are humble enough and honest with ourselves and know how messed up and screwed up that we are,
that
God still loves us, God still forgives us and wants a relationship with us, in the spirit of humility, that should make you feel so good that when you do see someone else living in sin or doing these things, you're like, I ain't even going to worry about them and what they're doing because Lord knows how screwed up I am.
Yeah.
And you're never going to get yourself right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So if we're all being honest with ourselves, we have a full-time job trying to keep ourselves straight and narrow. We don't have the time to try to fix nobody else.
Amen. But the way that you guys handle this, is, in my opinion, is great because you're showing them love, but at the same time you're saying, okay, you know, if you want me to go to a gay event, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to pass on that one because I'm a Christian. I don't believe what you do. And if there's any kind of feedback off of that, I'm sure you follow that up with here's why.
Yeah.
But that's an inclusive way. That's a big word. I know, inclusive. Inclusive, I think, has been stolen by the enemy. Okay. We're including you into. We want to see you saved. We want to see you accept Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's included because every one of us has sinned and every one of us was condemned to death before we accepted Jesus Christ. And you are too, but I'm not going to just hammer you with that. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. I'm not going to do that. If we're in a public setting, hi, how you doing? Nice to see you. Hope you have a great time. You know, but all of the stuff that we can't agree with, we stay away from. And I think by showing them that, you kind of show them the window, show them a way. Now,
you're mirroring Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. So how often are your podcasts aired? Do you have any specific times or are they just whenever you feel like it? Because I know there's podcasters that do that, and you may be one.
No, ours are good schedule for the past 2 years. We've been doing it for 2 years now. Well, Dig Bible Podcast has the Prometheus Lens. I've been doing it for about 6 or 7 months, but we do a weekly show on both.
Okay.
The Dig Bible Podcast premieres every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
And the Prometheus Lens airs Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. And are there any specific links, or you guys just kind of go with your guest, as far as that's what I did when I was a podcaster, I just went as far as my guest would go.
No, we really leave that pretty wide open. We have shows that are as short as 30 minutes, and we have ones that are as long as
almost two hours.
And the way that we always say it, and we'll tell, we always take when we have a guest on, especially, we'll say, listen, this is kind of our game plan, but we're going to see what the Holy Spirit does.
Amen.
And that normally happens where we get way off topic because it's something that we just ended up there. So I'm assuming the Holy Spirit's telling us to go this direction because there's somebody out there that needs to hear that.
That's
always our prayer too. And the thing is, honestly, in the end, you know, it's God has blessed it unbelievably in a way that we can't even fathom. A
couple rednecks in the garage to having almost 100,000 downloads, you know. I mean, that's God. That ain't us.
Yeah,
but you look at it, and it's amazing because our prayer is if we can reach this whole thing, if say we do this for 10 years, And we help plant that seed for one person.
That's it.
And that one person, what is their eternity worth?
How many people is that one person going to reach? That person could be the next Billy Graham for all we know.
We don't know.
That's right. That's right.
But this whole show could run for 10 years. And if one person is saved as a result of that seed being planted, everything was worth it.
Do you see this? That's goosebumps rising, because you just spoke the truth there. That is, it's something that everybody needs to hear. One person. And, if I'm able to reach one, that would be the greatest thing in the world. I may never know it, but it doesn't matter. No. That's not a consideration at all.
Just Schindler's List. You remember that? Schindler's List.
Yes. Yes.
That touched me so much as a Christian. Yes. Because it was like he saved all these people. And then when it was all over with, he pulled off his watch and he was just crying.
Yeah.
How many could I save with this watch?
Man.
This suit. How many could I save with this suit?
Yeah. Well, each one of us have our own individual testimony. Mine's been heard on radio many times. And every time I do it, and I'm not exaggerating, and it's never planned, I always break down. Mm-hmm. Every single time. Because I know how close I came to not having the opportunity. I call it saved to be saved.
Yeah.
We could go on with that for a very, very, very long time. Okay, now, on your website, is there a way that people can help support your ministry, whether that be through purchasing any materials or products, anything like that, or just a direct give, anything that will help your ministry? Tell us about that.
Well, Steve just recently set up a Venmo.
Yeah, I'm working on that, and I'll have that up on the website here shortly. We really have been doing this mostly just out of our pockets. All the materials, everything that we've done, we've just, at this conference, we've had some shirts and stuff that we made ourselves, which we got a vinyl cutter and put it all together, heat press and all that stuff. And it's really fun. It's been exciting. There's some cool shirts, and I'm sure we'll have some left after this that we'll put out there. But as far as, I always want to think about this as, our goal is to reach as many people as we can. And, if you look at what Paul says, and when he's talking about the spiritual gifts, right? He goes through and talks about, the gift of, wisdom, the gift of hospitality, the gift of just caring. There's all these different gifts that we are given.
Right.
And I think Peter talks about it, and it's talked about again in Romans. But these things are they're gifts. And it actually says that if you are, charitability, is a gift. And it's, if you're someone who can give and help somebody, that's great. Give. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying to us, but give to some ministry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, believe me, every one of us that's in this position, anybody who's doing a podcast, anybody who's doing a radio show, anybody, this majority of this stuff in the Christian space comes out of our pockets.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that one.
And we're trying to do everything we can to reach as many people as we can. And if there's some way that we can reach somebody else, and God puts it on your heart to be generous, great. If that's not to us and that's to some other group, great. If that's to you, great. I'm excited. That's awesome. Because anything that's going to further God's word, God's mission, then do it. If you're inclined to do it, then do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important thing, is that, it's awesome. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep doing what we do. If God blesses it, awesome. And as long as we're supposed to keep going, I know we will. But if God sees that another show or you or whoever it is going in a direction that he needs it to go, he'll bless that. And I think it's important, though, that people, when they get that tugging with the Holy Spirit, however they need to help. We have somebody who comes on and helps do our editing. We have somebody that has that volunteered to do all that for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have somebody who comes on, or for him, that does his Facebook page and some of his advertising mm-hmm. stuff, that volunteered to do stuff
like that.
They just
love the content and want to help grow it.
That's such a gift. That's being generous as well.
Right.
And that's
right.
Such a gift. I mean, it's just awesome, and we really appreciate everybody out there.
Yeah.
Well, with mine, the Prometheus Lens, I do subscriptions and stuff. I offer extra content. If you go to the website, PrometheusLensPodcast.com, follow the links, you can sign up for, I got a $5 a month package, and with that, gets access to a private community. Mm-hmm. And we have a private Facebook community, and it gives you 48-hour early access to all episodes. Okay. And I do monthly members chats and Q&As with authors. And I don't know when this will air, but this month on the 12th,
April
12th. Okay. The 12th, we have a question and answer session, meet and greet with Gary Wayne, okay, the Genesistic Conspiracy Theory author. And then I have another package that's $10 a month. You get all of that, but then you get also exclusive members only episodes. Okay. And so that's how I do to support my ministry and get all my subscriptions and mm-hmm. yeah. website fees, all that yeah. kind of stuff. So if you guys enjoy the content, want extra content, or want to help out the ministry, that's a good way to do that. And of course, you got t-shirts and just merchandise and stuff on the website right. too.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, ministry's great, and like you said, you know, most of it comes out of our pockets, and yeah. that is absolutely true. We don't have the big sponsorships that you see everywhere else. But even with that, every ministry needs that little bit of assistance. I'm going to tell y'all a story. You may not believe this, but it's absolutely true. My business account, okay, the bank that operates my business account, I had just purchased a building, which is going to be my new office and my new studio. And it comes completely empty. In other words, I've got to finish it out before I can use it. And that's going to cost me a lot of money. How many times have you gotten a survey in the mail and they say, you know, the grand prize winner is going to be this, and you know, and you fill out the survey and you never hear from it again, right? I did it with my bank about a week ago. And then I almost deleted the email that came back. And it said, congratulations, you just won $1,000, and we're putting that on your Amazon card. And I said, yeah, sure. And I just about hit the delete button on it, and I looked at who it came from, and it was a banker that has written me many times. And I thought about it for about 30 minutes. I said, okay, well, if the computer blows up, I guess it blows up. I'll give it a shot.
I'm clicking.
I hit it. And I have $1,000 in my Amazon account.
That's awesome.
Okay, now, look, this is not something that, I don't credit the bank. I don't credit luck. Mm-hmm. I credit God Almighty, because He knows I need that in order to continue to do what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, finances, it hits all of us. So I do encourage anybody out there, if you have the opportunity, buy the t-shirts. Sign up for the subscriptions. Listen to the podcasts. You'll be blessed. Neither one of them going to beat you over the head with the Bible. But instead, they're going to carry you through with really great topics, and they're going to sprinkle in the scripture into that and help you lead. And here's another thing. Share it. Because who you share it to might be that one that we're looking for.
Amen.
Right?
That's what I was going to say, because a lot of people, I understand times, you know, with Biden economics, I know things are tight, you know, but the sharing is even better. You know, if you can't contribute financially, get on there and give 5-star reviews for the podcast that you listen to and that you enjoy.
Amen.
Click that share button. Give a good review. You know, it don't take a second and a few clicks nowadays to share an episode on your social media mm-hmm. or send it through a text message and help grow the audience and the listenership. And like he said, you know, you may reach that one person by doing so. And it's you're without excuse on that one. You're too literal. Instant gratification, two clicks away. And do you want that, you know, I mean, on your conscience?
Yeah.
I mean, that would just kill
right.
me.
Yeah.
The whole Schindler's
yeah.
List.
Me
you
too.
Know?
Yeah. Without a doubt. Well, guys, I'm going to turn real quick before we run out of time to current events. Okay. you guys are in a different generation, but I believe that we are on borrowed time here. I just want your thoughts on that. We're here at the prophetic conference, for goodness sake, so I think we all have a big interest in it. And I'd like both of you to, very quickly, what do you think is lying ahead of us right now?
Honestly, with me, I used to be really big into politics and the news, kept up with it religiously, no pun intended. But I can honestly say, and this is my opinion, and if you don't agree with me, that's okay, you know. Mm-hmm. But 2016, when that election was stolen right from underneath our feet in front of us for all to see, and we did nothing and we were powerless, I knew that, metaphorically speaking, that there was someone tied on the train tracks and that the train was coming, and I knew what was going to happen. I didn't need a play-by-play.
Right.
I turned the television off. I have not watched the news.
You said 2016, but I know you meant 2020.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I misspoke there. And so I am totally clueless to what's going on in the world. If it's not happening with my family and in my direct line of sight, or unless I just hear about it from a friend, I'm pretty much clueless because I tuned out because I know how this story ends.
Yes.
And I don't need a play-by-play.
Amen.
My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if there's a asteroid coming or a nuclear warhead, surprise me.
How about you, Steve?
Well, I think it's, you know, we know that, I think the number one thing to remember is that it's sad, you know, when we see people suffer.
Yes.
It's sad when we see what's happening in Israel. It's terrible to see that, you know, people dying. It's awful. You hope that every single one of them is saved. You really, truly do.
Right.
It's awful, but these things have been foretold.
Yes.
This is prophetic. This is what this weekend's been about. And this stuff has to happen before the end can come.
Yes.
And so when we look at how focused everything is around Israel, that's what Revelation's about.
Amen.
So we know right now that we're getting close to that time. I believe that we're in that generation. I mean, it could be another 1,000 years. No one knows the day or the hour.
That's correct.
But I believe we're in that generation. I believe those things that are happening over there right now are just ramping up. And I know it has to happen. I don't like to see people suffering, but if you read the book of Revelation, there is a whole lot of suffering.
Okay, it's coming.
And so we know it's going to happen. But at the same time, I think we should be joyful because we know that we're that much closer to being with God.
Yeah. It's the blessed hope is for Christians. It is not for non-Christians.
100%. But that's why right now, it's always important. But right now, who out there in your life is not yet saved? Who has God put in your path that is not yet saved? Get out there and talk to him. What are you waiting for?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, guys, we're coming down here toward the end, and now I'm going to surprise my audience. I'm going to give these guys a radio show. So I want you guys to, if you enjoy Revelation Radio, you're going to love them. You're absolutely going to love them. Now, I don't have dates for you yet. I don't have times for you yet. You stay tuned, and I'm going to give it all to you, though, I promise you, because these guys have a message that needs to get out. We're going to take their podcast, and we're going to make it into a radio show, and we're going to blow them up, because right now we broadcast to all 50 U.S. states and more than 160 countries worldwide, including Israel, Iran, and guess what? I even have a guy that broadcasts by shortwave radio right into North Korea. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.